Hello, welcome to your morning manna, March the 12th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study of your word today. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us and for the warnings that you have provided. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength to retain that which we study so that we will be prepared for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, starting today, there's going to be a certain change in the morning manna presentation. We've decided that the time is so urgent and there's so much that needs to be studied that we are going to be doing a separate Bible study every day on the morning manna in such a format that you can continue to listen to it as you drive or as you work and absorb that which we have here. So starting today, we begin with the subject, the inspiration of the Bible. The inspiration of the Bible. And the format that we are following here is taken from The Bible Made Plain. That book was published back in 1922 by the Review and Herald Publishing Company. The subject again, therefore, for today is the inspiration of the Bible. We ask a question and the scripture answers it. We're going to keep it as simple as that so that as you drive or as you work or as you just listen, you will be able to absorb that which you need to know and study. First question. How were the scriptures given? The answer is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now, that's just one sentence of the entire text, and we would counsel you to read the entire text, but remember the question. How were the scriptures given? The answer, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The next question would be, by whom were the men directed who thus spoke for God? That answer can be found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the text says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So then, in answer to the question, by whom were the men directed who thus spoke for God? The answer found in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of God, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Then, who therefore did the speaking through these men? The question again, who therefore did the speaking through these men? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 answers that question. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So it was God who spoke through these prophets. Next, for what purpose were the scriptures written? For what purpose were the scriptures written? Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 gives the answer. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So what purpose were the scriptures written for? That we might have hope through the scriptures. Next, for what is all scripture profitable? For what is all scripture profitable? Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 gives the answer. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And of course, you know the rest of that verse. And I'm leaving the rest of that verse so that you can read it for yourself and become more acquainted with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So what have we covered so far? First, how were the scriptures given? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Next, by whom were the men directed who thus spoke for God? 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Next, who therefore did the speaking through these men? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It was God, at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Next, for what purpose were the scriptures written? Romans 15 and verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Continuing, for what is all scripture profitable? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now these texts that we've taken a look at so far are easy for you to remember. And the reason why we're doing this in this format, so that you might be able to listen to this as you move around, allowing it to sink into your thinking. And so when you have the answer, there is a text of scripture right next to the question. Let's continue. What was God's design in thus giving the scriptures? Here is it. That the man of God may be perfect, says 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that was the plan in giving the scriptures. All right. What is the character of God's word? John chapter 17 and verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does that mean? It means that the word of God, therefore, is truth. And if we study it and recall it, it changes us. It sanctifies us. It helps us to grow according to the will of God. Next question. What test should therefore be applied to every professed teacher of truth? In other words, when you hear me preach or some other person preach, what test should therefore be applied to every professed teacher of truth? Answer. Isaiah 8 and verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. Next, what does God design that his word should be to us in this world of darkness, sin, and death? Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The next question. How long will the word of God endure? Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, thy word of our God shall stand forever. Now these texts, as we are reading them here, in line with the questions, allow you to absorb it and remember it. Just listen to it a few times, and I'm sure that you will be surprised, and pleasantly so, at how much you will recall. The next question that we have for you. Of whom did Christ say the scriptures testify? John chapter 5 and verse 39 says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So of whom did Christ say the scriptures testify? They testify of him. The next question. What is the nature of the word of God? Hebrews 4 and verse 12 gives the answer. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you study, I know that you are going to absorb this, and it's going to become a part of your life and your thinking. The next question. What did Christ declare his word to be? John chapter 6 and verse 63 gives the answer. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And finally, what name is applied to Jesus as the revelation in the flesh of the thought of God? John 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What was the Word then? John 1 and verse 4 says, in Him was life. Now, we've completed our first study. And of course, the title of the first study is The Inspiration of the Bible. It tells us where the scriptures were given from. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then, by whom were the men directed? They were directed by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. Who therefore did the speaking through these men? Hebrews 1 and verse 1 says it was God who spoke. God at sundry times and in divers manners, speaking times past, unto the fathers by the prophets. And then, for what purpose were the scriptures given? For our learning, says Romans 15 and verse 4, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. For what is all scripture profitable? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And what was God's design in thus giving the scriptures? That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, says verse 17. What is the character of God's word? John 17 and verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And what test should therefore be applied to every professed teacher or preacher of truth? Isaiah 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. What does God design that his word should be to us in this world of darkness and sin? Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How long would the word of God endure? Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, thy word of God shall stand forever. Of whom did Christ say the scriptures testify? John 5 and verse 39 says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What is the nature of the word of God? Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What did Christ declare his word to be? John 6 and verse 63 says, thy word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What name is applied to Jesus as a revelation in the flesh of the thought of God? John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What was in the Word? John 1 and verse 4 says, in Him was life. The great controversy, beginning in the author's preface on page C4, says this. The Bible points to God as its author, yet it was written by human hands. And in the varied style of its different books, it presents the characteristics of the several writers. The truths revealed are all given by inspiration of God, yet they are expressed in the words of men. The infinite one, by his Holy Spirit, has shed light into the minds and hearts of his servants. He has given dreams and visions, symbols and figures. And those to whom the truth was revealed have themselves embodied the thought in human language. The Ten Commandments were spoken by God himself and were written by his own hand. They are of divine and not human composition. But the Bible, with its God-given truths expressed in the language of men, presents a union of the divine and the human. Such a union exists in the nature of Christ, who was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Thus it is true of the Bible, it was of Christ, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, that's John 1 and verse 14. Written in different ages by men who differed widely in rank and occupation, and in mental and spiritual endowments, The books of the Bible present a wide contrast in style, as well as a diversity in the nature of the subjects unfolded. Different forms of expression are employed by different writers. Often the same truth is more strikingly presented by one than by another. And as several writers present a subject under varied aspects and relations, they may appear to the superficial, careless, or prejudiced reader to be the discrepancy or contradiction, where the thoughtful, reverent student with clearer insight discerns the underlying harmony of the scriptures. As presented through different individuals, the truth is brought out in its varied aspects. One writer is more strongly impressed with one phase of a subject. He grasps those points that harmonize with his experience or with his power of perception and appreciation. Another seizes upon a different phase, and each, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, presents what is most forcibly impressed upon his own mind. A different aspect of the truth in each, but a perfect harmony through all. And the truths thus revealed unite to form a perfect whole, adapted to meet the wants of men in all the circumstances and experiences of life. God has been pleased to communicate his truth to the world by human agencies, and he himself, by his Holy Spirit, qualified men and enabled them to do this work. He guided the mind in the selection of what to speak and what to write. The treasure was entrusted to earthen vessels, yet it is nonetheless from heaven. The testimony is conveyed through the imperfect expressions of human language, yet it is the testimony of God, and the obedient, believing child of God beholds in it the glory of a divine power full of grace and truth. In his word, God has committed to men the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are to be accepted as an authoritative, infallible revelation of his will. They are the standard of character, the revealer of doctrines, and the test of experience. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, like we just read, 16 and 17. Yet the fact that God has revealed his will to men through his word has not rendered needless the continued presence and guiding of the Holy Spirit. On the contrary, the Spirit was promised by our Savior to open the word by his servants to illuminate and apply its teachings. And since it was the Spirit of God that inspired the Bible, it is impossible that the teaching of the Spirit should ever be contrary to that of the Word of God. The Spirit was not given, nor can it ever be bestowed, to supersede the Bible, for the Scriptures explicitly state that the Word of God is the standard by which all teaching and experience must be tested. Says the Apostle John, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." 1 John 4 and verse 1 says that, and Isaiah declares, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them." Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Greater reproach has been cast upon the word of the Holy Spirit by the errors of a class that, claiming its enlightenment, profess to have no further need of guidance from the word of God. They are governed by impressions which they regard as the voice of God in the soul. But the spirit that controls them is not the Spirit of God. This following of impressions to the neglect of the Scriptures can lead only to confusion, to deception, and ruin. It serves only to further the designs of the evil one. Since the ministry of the Holy Spirit is of vital importance to the Church of Christ, it is one of the devices of Satan, through the errors of extremists and fanatics, to cast contempt upon the work of the Spirit and cause the people of God to neglect the source of strength which our Lord has provided. In harmony with the Word of God, his Spirit was to continue its work throughout the entire period of the gospel dispensation. During the ages, while the scriptures of both the Old and New Testament were being given, the Holy Spirit did not cease to communicate light to individual minds, apart from the revelations to be embodied in the sacred canon. The Bible itself relates how, through the Holy Spirit, men received warning, reproof, counsel, and instruction in matters in no way relating to the giving of the scriptures. And mention is made of prophets in different ages of whose utterances nothing is recorded. In like manner, after the close of the canon of scripture, the Holy Spirit was still to continue to work, to enlighten, to warn, and comfort the children of God. Jesus promised his disciples, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come." Scripture plainly teaches that these promises, so far from being limited to apostolic days, extend to the Church of Christ in all ages. The Savior assures his followers, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," Matthew 28 and verse 20. And Paul declares that the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit were set in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of his ministry, for the edifying of the whole body of the church and Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the believers at Ephesus, the apostle prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The ministry of the divine Spirit in enlightening the understanding and opening to the mind the deep things of God's holy word was the blessing which Paul thus besought for the Egyptian church. And today, God seeks the same for us. And this is why we've decided to adjust the format of our morning manna just so that you might be able to learn and to study and to recall some of the deep answers from the Word of God concerning the Word that God has given us, so that as you move along, as you walk, as you work, as you just relax, you might be able to absorb, just by listening, some of the truths that are so important for our understanding. And if you listened to this again, this particular program from the beginning, you will be able to review some of the important scriptures that are necessary for our learning and for our growth. How were the scriptures given? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. By whom were the men directed? They were all directed and moved by the Holy Ghost. Do this. Listen again to the beginning, and you will begin to learn and grow according to the Word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We thank you that you have given us an opportunity to study today, truly study. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to retain those things that we have studied, so that our lives might be transformed and guided apart according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, March the 12th, 2021.